Praise God. I want to give a little disclaimer to what I shared this morning. The name of it is Between the Dead and the Living. And my disclaimer is that the Lord shared this with me a couple of months ago. In fact, in my notes, I made a typo and said, the Lord shared with me several moths ago. So there have been several moths who have flown over this. And then he quickened me to share this just a few days ago. Let me say a week ago. So the disclaimer is, if this sounds like I am addressing you or your situation, especially if we've talked within the last week or so, I am not. I am just sharing what the Lord gave me to share, and I think it'll be a blessing to you, but... And what I also want to do is I want to start with a story that's prior to this. And it's the story that I want to share on is a build-up. It's not really my point or where I'm going or what's the main thing that we want to get to. But the first part of this is Korah's rebellion. And again, there are specific things within that that lend itself to the scriptures that follow Korah's rebellion, which is the main area that I'd like to get to. All right. So this is in Numbers chapter 16, and we'll just read verse 2 at the beginning. And remember now, we're going through a bunch of Korah's rebellion stuff, not a bunch of it, but a certain amount of it. And I may kind of go a little fast so that I can get to the point that I want to get to. Numbers 16, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses, and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. So there's this uprising against Moses and Aaron. And it was, this says 250 people, who rose up, and they're probably people that you and I would have voted for, princes. They're famous. They're men of renown. They've got a big group, 250 men. And verse 3 says this, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. Now, I really doubt that, you know. I mean, that's probably just me. But I really doubt that these 3 million people that came out of Egypt, every one of them are holy. But, you know, I'm not going to say I'm contradicting the Bible. I'm just saying the guy that talked may have been exaggerating a little bit here. All right? every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Why would you lift yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord? The next verse. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Now, I thought that was kind of cool that they're talking about lifting up and he's falling down on his face. Verse 5. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near. Now, the next verse gets into that particular area that I wanted to draw out of Korah's, not so much even the rebellion or these people rising up, but this next verse, okay? And this verse is 6 and 7. So this is Moses talking to them, and he says, this do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire thereon, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. So most of you know this, but just a quick rehearsal. There were two altars in the tabernacle, and One of them was the brazen altar, and that's where the animals were sacrificed, and that's where the deaths were taking place in that. But there was another altar, and it was up closer to where the Lord was in that tabernacle, just a veil between it and the Holy of Holies, and that was the altar of incense. And there, incense was burned unto God, and the way that they did it was they had these things called censers, and they would put the, you know, and I don't know if it's around or whatever, but they'd put the incense in there, and they'd light it, and then they would swing it before the Lord, and that incense would fill the Holy of Holies. So Moses is telling these 250 people, okay, look, go get you some censers, and let's just do this thing tomorrow. All right, so... And again, it was used to swing before the Lord and spread that incense before him, all right? And it was primarily in the tabernacle, it was primarily for the Lord's satisfaction, all right? So just now, you don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read it real quick. We'll talk about it a little more later. But in the New Testament, it does deal with this. And this is 2 Corinthians 2:15-17. But I'm just going to read one little portion of it. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We are meant to be like a censer that carried the sweet savor of Christ. And it's Christ, okay? So the sweet savor isn't us. We would be more like the censer Jesus is, and Christ in us is supposed to be that. Not just a saved people are automatically a sweet savor, but we're all supposed to be living censers that carry this sweet fragrance of Christ and carrying it before God and before man. So so what is incense for? Not just in the tabernacle, but yes, it's both of these things there also, as well as people who like incense and use it. It's for to mask an odor or to enjoy the fragrance. Okay. So, you know, in my BC days, I used to do a little bit of the, you know, and we would use incense in my bedroom when I lived at home as a teenager, and it masked the smell of what I was doing, but it was also a sweet savor. What does that have to do with the Lord and what we're doing here? Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Okay. All right. So the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and he would, the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, and he would swing that incense before the Lord, and he had to cover himself with it. So he's like, I got to get this over me, because if he didn't cover himself with incense, if he didn't have that fragrance, and if he didn't have his odor of himself covered, I mean, God wants it removed, but covered, then he would die in there, okay? So, stay. All right. So, excuse me. Now in number 16, starting with verse 32, we'll read a couple of verses here. So we're trying to get this to the end. So this is, now we're going to see the demise of Korah and his 250 men. number 16, verse 32. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Okay, and then verse 35 says this, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Okay, so this is kind of counterproductive to be trying to offer God and light it when your fragrance is what he's smelling. And so he sends out fire, but he doesn't light the incense. He lights them up, okay? So in this situation, there's a situation of earth, wind, and fire, okay? So the earth is, this says that the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up Korah and his family and all of his things like that. And then it says it closed back up. I mean, I've heard of sinkholes, but this opened up and then it closed back up. Okay. So there's your earth. And then the next one is fire. And that's where God got the 250, princes and, men of renown and all of that. And, so anyway, I can hear Mike Wallace saying, okay, well, where's the wind? We have the earth and wind, but I mean, where earth and fire, but where's earth, wind, and fire? Well, it pertained to Moses. Moses caught wind of what they were doing. Okay. All right. So moving along, now I want to get to the main story of what we wanted to talk about here. All right. And this is, okay, so all of this happened with Korah and their rebellion and these 250 men and everything. And so the next morning after that, the next morning after God did all of that, we read this. This is Numbers 16, verse 41. And we'll see how far down we go. We'll go down a pretty good ways and just try to give you the main part of the story. Okay? This is verse 41. But on the morrow, meaning the very next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Okay? And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Okay. So verse 43, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell on their faces. See, they're always getting low, all right? Verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire thereon from off the altar and put incense on and go quickly into the congregation and make atonement for them." So I'll stop right there just to point out. Now this story is about the incense, and so was Korah's rebellion. But I wanted you to see how it pertains to this story also. All right. So, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. That's what it says. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. All right. So, I wasn't sharing this in relationship to COVID. I didn't even think of it, actually. The Lord brought it up, and I thought, okay. But if the shoe fits, all right. And so ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, not counting beside them that died about the matter of Korah the day before. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. All right. Before I say that, it just came to my memory that many years ago, and I don't have that in my notes, honestly just came to me, that I was at a pastor's meeting, and I'll just make it short. I went over to get a cup of coffee, and a couple of the pastors could tell that I wasn't, you know, I didn't look or act like your regular pastor. And so they wanted to come check me out. And they came over, and they said, "Well, you know, what's your name and what church and whatever?" And they said, "How many people you running?" And this is pastor speak, meaning you have honor based on how many people are in your church. I said, "Well, we're running about 60, but only catching about 40. And of course, they're like, he don't talk like we do. Anyway, he said, well, that's a pretty small group. And I said, well, our goal at our church is that it's not about numbers and increasing numbers of people. It's about an increase of Christ within us. And one of the pastors said, well, numbers are important. God even put a book in the Bible called the Book of Numbers. And I said, have you ever read that book? And he said, yeah, of course. You know, I said, well, then you know that the Book of Numbers is where they come out of Egypt and they start with all of these people. And as they go along, they keep losing people, earth opening up and fire going out and all this kind of stuff. And here you got 14,700, just not counting Korah's rebellion. And it's that way all the way through. The Book of Numbers is not increasing how many people you got, but getting rid of the ones that don't want him, if you will. But and we are in the Book of Numbers. Yes. Okay. I love this phrase in verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. All right. So, again, here it is, the next day. Who comes out? Who's the accusers this time? Is it 250 men? Is it Korah and his family? It's all the congregation. All. Can you believe that? Everybody came out and said to them. So if you can imagine Moses and Aaron standing there and this big, you know, how do you get all the congregation out there? But they're all surrounding them and saying, you killed the people of God. You did this. Okay. And so, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the cloud moves in over here kind of out of direct eyesight, and then this light shows up, you know, the Shekinah glory over there, you know, and Moses and Aaron are surrounded by all these people, you know, and they're an angry mob, and all of a sudden they notice the cloud, and they go, well, excuse me, fellas, but I have to take this call. So they wander over to the tabernacle where the glory is, and the Lord speaks to them, and this is verse 45 now. God speaking to Moses and Aaron, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell on their faces again. They spend a lot of time on their faces. Okay, so the Lord is like, I've had it. Yesterday, you would have thought they'd have learned from yesterday. Right? Amen? Yeah, you would have thought. But no. Okay. So they fall on their faces again. And verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire on it from off of the altar. Okay, so just so you know, the incense that is burning up next to the Holy of Holies where God is, the fire that lit that came from the brazen altar. That's where it came from. And it came the first time it fell, and they kept that fire going always. And it always was the fire of the incense that gave itself in a sweet savor to God. Just a little side note, but it's not a side note. All right. So, from off the altar and put incense on and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Okay. So go get incense, go get a censer, go get incense, go get fire, put it on there. Wrath has begun from the Lord. It's already begun. All right. So, one of the things that I thought about in this whole thing was the fact that God said, Moses, you and Aaron separate now. I'm going to destroy this whole congregation. Moses and Aaron falls on their face. Moses says to Aaron, go get a censer, go get incense, go get fire, and run into the congregation. Moses is telling Aaron to do the exact opposite of what God said, which was, get away from him, let me just do this. No, they're putting themselves, particularly Aaron, right in the middle of all of that. Okay, but then it says, for there is wrath going out from the Lord, the plague has begun. Okay, the plague has begun. I thought of that scripture in Revelation, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon it was death, and hell followed after. It says the plague is begun, and death was coming on a pale horse to this congregation. Verse 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put incense on and made an atonement. Okay, so as I said, he runs into the midst of the dead that have already dropped, the diseased, the dangerous, meaning the angry mob. He's running right in the middle of them with the censer, and there you go. I can just, you know, Aaron is rushing in there, and he's swinging this thing, and he's looking, and he's trying to get in between the living and the dead, and he's trying to cover. You want some too, you know, and you need some over here, you know, and he's, I'm trying to cover this whole place with the fragrance of the Lord and get the stench of all this death and all this stench of our humanity covered so that the Lord doesn't destroy everything. You probably didn't record any of that, but you get the idea. I mean, he is going. And so verse 48, and he stood between the dead and the living. Oh my. He stood between the dead and the living. Just trying to spread this fragrance, trying to spread the Lord among those who had nothing of the Lord but thought they did. And just to give a little more understanding of what incense entails, I was studying this a little closer as I got into it. Obviously, it's a sweet savor, but it has an effect in this case because it went in between life and death. Now, this is the cross. It goes in between the living and the dead. And that's what Jesus did. He hung on the cross. And he hung there between the living and the dead. let me read you this statement that I wrote. Mighty men stand to overpower the enemy. But one man, talking about Jesus, but one man has weapons we know not of. Jesus defeats the plague with his own fragrance. Jesus alone can stop it by going in between life and death. In his sweet fragrance, he hangs there. He bridges the gap. He bridges the gap. So there is those two things that I mentioned earlier that made a difference. One is the fragrance, which is not us and not how sweet smelling we are, but we're supposed to be a sweet savor of Christ. And the other is covering up the stench of what we are. And all of that in the story that we're reading came from the altar, just as Jesus did. It all came from the altar. That's where it came from. So for the Lord, and for Moses and Aaron, it's not about destroying everything or everyone. It's about, and I did a quick study on my own, it's about covering and carrying an increase. So I want to address those three things. And luckily, I'm going pretty fast here so that some of you who are worried about maybe your football game or something like that, let's talk about increase first. Increase. To give God more of his son. To give God more of his son, there must be an increase. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Must, not this would be good. I'm a Christian. It would be great if more of Jesus could come out of me. No, he must. He must. This is the Father's desire for a son. He wouldn't have used that word if it didn't mean a lot to him, so much to him. So much. You must. Just as clear as you must be born again. He must increase this fragrance of Christ, this sweet savor. So the point in relationship to increase is not to stop the reign of death. And I'm sure many people who read this, that's what they're thinking in terms of. They're thinking in, oh, this is Moses and Aaron. What they're trying to do is they're trying to stop the reign of death. No. They're trying to bring an increase of Christ. That will stop the reign of death. That will stop the plague. That will stop the plague. Give the Father more of his son. It will. Or it won't. Not to stop the reign of death, but to increase. I wrote down, Aaron comes not to stop negative spread, but to bring in another kind of spread. This fragrance. You see, well, let me just wait on that. So that seems very simple. Excuse me while I take a drink of my coffee. One of the downfalls of having a big mustache, you get to enjoy it for hours. Okay. I just can't overemphasize this thing of increase and covering and all three of the things that I mentioned. But the increase is what we're talking about right now. And if only our hearts could really comprehend that if we were in that situation, if we were there, we might be, because we certainly probably wouldn't be Moses or Aaron, we'd be one of the congregation, and we see that people start dropping. I mean, can you imagine the whole congregation and what, 14,000 of them, however many it said, they start dropping like flies. They're just dropping dead, you know, and then you see Aaron running in there, and I won't get this thing off again, but anyway, you see Aaron running in there and going like this, and you see some people not dying, and then you see the people that were around him and those being covered are still alive, and you go, what am I going to do? Am I going to stand here in my hard position of what I think is right, or am I going to get over here and get covered with Christ? Am I going to embrace it? Maybe I'm a stench in the nostrils of God apart from Christ. Now I'm going to get over here. I want to be covered by him. And what I was saying is that was the deal with Aaron. When he got ready to on the Day of Atonement, to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, you read it. Man, one of the first requirements before you step in there is you get that incense and you swing it before you and you get that fragrance all over you. And then you get a cloud of it going and you step in there and it's not just a fragrance that is covering you. You get into the cloud of it where God can't see you because you're not Christ, Aaron. You may be the high priest, but you're not the one that he's really looking for. So you better cover yourself, and you better cover yourself good, not just by the blood. This isn't about being a Christian. This is about getting in there where the Lord is. And just getting in there, and of course, part of the deal is he went in there to sprinkle the blood and everything and then come out to the people. Oh, oh my, even Aaron, the chosen of God, needed the incense. So how much more? All of these people, how much more? Everyone else. So, I want to talk about number two, carrying, okay? This is all aspects of incense, carrying. And as I mentioned, even before this happened, Aaron was the high priest, okay? So he got covered in that, and as I said, it covered the stench, it covered everything in relationship to him, and then But again, he's also doing that. He's carrying that in there because he has to save himself as well as to satisfy God. It's just amazing to me that we actually, like Aaron, if we're covered in this, then we live. We can go into the Holy of Holies. But you're not in there to cover yourself and live. But you're not. You're in there to satisfy God with this fragrance of Christ. That's what you're in there for. But if you don't do that, then you're not going to satisfy God, and you'll die in the Holy of Holies. Well, I died in the Holy of Holies. You know. Okay, well, whatever. So, let me read another thing here. You bring the incense in there to make sure God is blessed. When the high priest came out to the people, he carried it. The fragrance of it was still on him. When he was in there with God, he made sure it was so thick, so strong, that there wouldn't be, you know, like one little finger sticking out, you know, kind of how we do water baptism. You know, God goes, ah, it's you, isn't it? You know, when he came out to the people, he carried it, the fragrance, in human form. It was the fragrance of Christ, but he was a human that carried it out to the people. And the people are going, oh, what is this beautiful smell? It must be Aaron coming from the Holy of Holies and getting closer. Okay, well, that's our high priest too, not just Aaron, Jesus. Okay, and he carried it, and he carried it out to the people so that they could experience that smell, the smell that God is looking for in us. I'm talking about the Day of Atonement now, they never would have known exactly what the fragrance that God is looking for of Christ, unless they smelled it on the high priest. Amen. And unless he didn't just stay in there, but carried it out to them. So he would carry it out to the people and fill their nostrils with it, with that smell. It needs to be lived in the outside world, not just in church. So God is not satisfied by the death of those who do not adhere to God's favored firstborn, but with those who carry him. God is satisfied with those who carry him. And Aaron carried incense, quickened by fire from the brazen altar. And those people in the plague, they didn't. They had censers. They had incense. They had fire. They didn't get their fire from the brazen altar. If they are claiming to be priests but not covered when they are before God, they die just like Aaron would if he didn't. So this, you see this picture when the plague starts, Moses and Aaron fall to their face and Moses says, get up. We're going to run. I want you to run into the midst of all of that death. Say, what death? The plague has begun. Before they dropped, the death was already there. And all that anger, I mean, how fast could you go among all those people? All that anger, all of that smell, and I want you to carry something out that goes primarily into the Holy of Holies for the satisfaction of God, and just cover him. Just cover him. Aaron understood this, see. He had to do this, you know, once a year, every year. So again, he had to do that so he could come in, so he could be covered in it. All right. So this answer had to do with masking, covering, masking it. Again, God doesn't want us to mask the stench of the flesh that we have. He wants not I, but Christ. He wants his son formed in us, and he wants that sweet savor. But he proved in this story, and in the fact that Aaron was in there for all the people on the Day of Atonement, he proved that even if they still had their own stench, you can be covered with that fragrance. It's just a covering. It's not the answer. It's not a filling. But that's the grace of God. So the answer had to do with masking or covering. Masking what? Of course, the stench of those who had no fragrance of Christ. It was for those who had no fragrance of Christ that he ran into their midst. Their savor was not as the incense that gave its existence to the fire so that a fragrance pleasing to God would arise. They all had the right equipment, censers and incense and fire and all this kind of stuff. So as I just meditated on this after I realized I'd be sharing this, and I really didn't equate this to the plague, to the worldwide pandemic, I was so focused on the Lord, it just didn't even come to my mind. But then as I got ready to share or was preparing a few days ago, I realized, there's all this going on all around the world. And what if the thing that would stop it would not be a vaccination or the resistance of a vaccination? What if it was an increase of Christ in us? What if God, overlooking the whole world, just kind of looked at it and said, look, you need to understand, I want my son out of you. I didn't just save you so you wouldn't go to hell. I want my son. I put him in there, not so you could hide him, you know, a light set on a hill, but you put a bushel over it so nobody can see him as the light of the world, as the life, as the fragrance, as the our peace, as for all those things. And he's overlooking it, and he's just saying, you know, I am serious about my son. I am. And what if it was as simple as, instead of spending millions on, or billions on vaccines or masks or whatever else, what if we just got hearts that said, you know what, forget the pandemic. I don't want to be like these rebellious people that were saying they were something to God when they weren't, and God says, get out of the way, I'm going to show them. But rather, I just want the Lord. I want to give God something. He's given so much to me. He's blessed me. He's helped me. He's healed me at times when I was sick. He's done all of these things. He's opened my eyes to certain things in the Word that never really got me. I got it and shared it, or did, you know, but it never got me. But now I want Him. I want the sweet fragrance of Christ, not to stop the plague, not to stop the spread, but to glorify the Father. Yeah. And our hearts just rise. Yeah. In that spirit and carry that forth. Let's pray. Father, we have gathered here today not to play church or even just do a religious thing that we think pleases you. Father, the whole congregation did a religious thing. And we're no closer to you. In fact, we're in worse off because the fragrance that they brought to Moses and Aaron was not your son. But Father, you, even when you, in your stance that is so strong for your son, said, get out of the way, I am going to destroy this whole congregation. You, through those who know you, and as Aaron does, knows how to do it, ran into the midst of the thing that God said, I'm going to destroy. And Father, how bad would that plague have been had he not done that? Father, how many after that, years after that, how many that lived and didn't die in that plague because there was that one glorious moment when the fragrance of Christ fell over them and you passed over. Do we know, do we even understand how many times we have stood in a hard stance against something that was you, something that we thought we knew the answer to, but the answer was you. And yet the answer that is you saved us again and again and again, even with our rejection of it. Open our hearts. Father, I never really want to pray, open our eyes again. I will, but I don't want to. I want to pray, open our hearts. But Father, your Spirit spoke to me as we were in the car coming today. And he reminded me that Jesus said to us, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Father, we're responsible for having a hearing ear, not you. Jesus, you said those words. You didn't say, "I'll give you a hearing ear." You said, "He that hath a hearing ear, let him hear this then." Father, we passively wait so many times for you to do everything. Oh, where is that Spirit in Moses and Aaron when they didn't go by your word to destroy the people, because Moses knew that just destroying them was not really God's goal, but an increase of the fragrance of Christ. And he went, as it were, opposed to you, and yet knowing your heart, he can't mess up because he couldn't mess up because he knew what you really wanted. And Moses turned to his brother Aaron and said, "Go run in the midst of all of that. And this, get this cloud over as many as you can." And stand between the dead and the living. Stand there between the dead and the living. Stand there, waffling that fragrance of Christ between the dead and the living. And may some of them catch a smell of that fragrance and go toward it. May some be drawn to a new thing, away from an old thing, and come out of that whole situation different. Father, these are things that are in your hands and up to free will, up to what we think in our lives is most important. Our decisions, our free will. But I still pray. And I pray, knowing there are those in agreement with me, let your fragrance cover them until it lives in them, until they are living censers walking around with fire inside of them from the altar, setting loose a fragrance that can't be gotten any other place but off of the altar. And let it bring glory to you, Father, by your Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we could even pray and set these things before you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I'm not suggesting today or right now. I'm just asking, when's the last time you fell on your face before God? I mean, fell on your face before God. I know. Some of you got kids. Some of you got all kind of stuff going on there.
But let something come into your heart now that wants to just drop, just all strength go out of your flesh and you drop on your face before God. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to feel anything. You just need to have something that compels you that I would like to be on my face over this. God bless you. Don't worry. It'll be a long time before I preach again on Sunday. So God bless you guys. I love you. I love you so much. I do. I do. And I know that it's not even my love. I know where it comes from. I know him who loves you and you know him. But I want to assure you, if this sounded scary to you, he loves his son more than he loves us. And he wants us to embrace Christ and him crucified by a spirit and life. So, no service tonight. And we'll see you next Sunday then. Amen.